Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church in the heart of Belfast.
It's wonderful. I'm really glad to be speaking today. I hope you're glad to be listening, because we're at the start of a new year. And it's interesting for me that over this next month, okay, I'm going to be speaking. Isn't it funny? I'm going to be speaking about, grace to believe. It's kind of on the screen behind me. But isn't it this time the time of year where every church around the world, it seems to be, does the, you know, the whole new year, new me thing, right? I'm not knocking that. I think it's really brilliant. It's like a cosmic whole new year, new me. And I've been thinking about that and thinking, you know, it's really good. And sometimes I wonder, though, why does the Lord do that? It's almost like, you know, does the Lord have to wait to get Christmas over before he can do something new? Just like, I'd really love to be speaking to them right now, but you know what, Christmas? Let them just get Christmas out of the way because their heads are turned. And then what we'll do is wait to January because the Lord works on our calendar, right? So the Lord gets tired for the end of the year, gets through Christmas, relaxes with the Son and the Holy Spirit for a while, and then he goes, flip, better do a new thing, all right, when it gets to January, because that's the way the calendar works. Isn't that right? And I think that it's interesting for me in that, because the Jesus that I know and love is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't love you any more right now than he did on the 31st of December. Do you know that? He doesn't will any more goodness for you today than he's been willing for you for the whole of your life. He hasn't planned any more blessing. Every blessing is yes and amen in Jesus for you. And so we can approach the new year with confidence and boldness to go, yes, there is an emphasis. And the Lord highlights and puts an emphasis on things as the Spirit of God is moving in our church, in you, and through the world. But make no bones about it. It's not like he's come up with anything brand new. Like Jesus was kind of less last year, and he's a little bit more this year. He's always full for you. Amen? But what we do want to do is we want to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us. And we want to hear, because what I think, okay, it's just my opinion, is this time of the year is about alignment, actually. Not God waking up and going, oh, I'm going to do something new. Well, God's always been wanting to heal. I mean, this whole church is about leading people to an encounter with Jesus, number one. What is, our vision is God's vision, laid out at the very beginning when he was leading the people out. He said, I'm going to lead you to an encounter with me, the one true living God. In the middle of a world where there's everything and loads of gods and loads of things promising, I am the one true God. Encounter Jesus and you'll be changed forever. Not just you, your family, your whole network, your business, your life, for all of eternity in an encounter with Jesus. So we lead people to an encounter with Jesus. This is the God who we serve. Then we help them to grow in the grace and the love of God. Let our roots go down deep into his righteousness, into his love, and into his goodness, because that is how we see fruit in our lives. Not by working harder and trying harder and pushing harder and pressing it, all that. You receive as you are attached to Jesus. And the result of being attached to Jesus, according to John 15, is that you bear great fruit. So what we do is we lead you to an encounter of the grace of God. Then we help you to discover why God put breath in your body. You, this morning, were born for purpose. You were born for vision. You were born for something much bigger than yourself. And grace leads you into that, to discover why you have breath in your body. And this morning, I love what Phil was ministering there. That was a word for me. I don't care about the rest of you. Actually, well, I do. What he ministered there ministered to me, and I know it ministered to Penny, because what is interesting is that as you discover grace, you discover that if you have breath in your body today, right? Some of you, I'm not quite sure, all right? New year, new me, pastor, I dead on. But if you've got breath in your body, do you know what that means? The Lord's not finished with you. He's not done with you. You're drawing breath this morning. You got your backside on a seat in Exchange Church. Then God is speaking to you to say, you haven't seen anything yet. All right? And what happens then when you start to discover the gifts and the talents and the abilities and the purpose and the calling on your life? You come to church and you come to the body of Christ and the family of Christ, and you give yourself wholeheartedly to the purpose of God in the church, because the church is God's chosen vessel to bring Jesus to the world. He's coming back for his bride, the church. He loves the church. And in the context of family, grace was never meant to keep you isolated and alone. It's not you and Jesus and God TV. That's not the way it works. Grace works whenever, and you start to see grace work whenever you live it out with people. Whenever you commit yourself to the purpose of God, because whenever the Lord is speaking, he, the same yesterday, today, and forever, Jesus said, I am the head of the church. I love the church. You know, for all of her problems and all of our whatevers, I'm going to speak into that this morning. I love the church. I am for the church. I am coming back for my church. I am preparing my church as a beautiful bride. And so the church is where it is at. I'm unashamed about that. And sometimes I think some of us need to reorder and reprioritize around that, but I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. Now, it doesn't mean that in 2019 the Lord is this isn't a vision talk, okay? I'm going to do that at some point in January, but I just felt, actually this week, the Lord asked me to minister into something else because, you know, there are particular ways that the Lord moves. He molds, he shapes, he creates, and he brings freshness and emphasis to us on certain things that he is doing. And I think that's what we need. We need to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us as people and as a church in 2019 and align very quickly at the start of the year, all right? Remember, through the year, I keep encouraging you that whenever the Lord is speaking to you, when he puts a word into your heart now, the way the world works is we just want it instant, all right? We want to hear the word today and see the fruit tomorrow. In the natural world, it doesn't work like that. Now, I know that God can supernaturally bless and multiply. He's not constrained by time. But the word also says there are times and seasons, right? And so it's interesting, the very first miracle that Jesus performs is the wedding at Cana. And apart from anything else about turning water into wine, one of the big lessons in that is that he says, I am not constrained by time. To get the very best wine, it takes time. It takes lots of different inputs. But one of the big elements is time. You don't get really great wine in 55 seconds or whatever it took to fill those big things. And so he kind of goes, I'm not constrained by time. I sit outside of your construct of time. Do you get that? I am above it all. I hold it all. In fact, I hold it all. So don't you be worrying about time passing by or what time has gone before, all right? Because I hold your time in my hands and I can cause something in a moment which the world will say will take forever because I'm not limited by what the world says. I made the world. I created the world. But we also need to realize that there are times when the Lord speaks because what he wants to put into our hearts is for maybe 3 months, 4 months, 6 months down the road. He prepares you in advance. Remember I said this back in the summer, feed well. Summer 2017, the Lord spoke to me, and so I spoke to you. Feed well. Get it into the word. Feed on the word. Take the word. Why? Because the words that you read in scripture are life and health to you. There is life and health that comes in your body whenever you read, whenever you feed well. Or do you snack on everything else, opinion, what he says, she says, whatever, my Aunt Aggie says, right? Or do you actually take the words of the Lord and say, let these be life and health to me? Then we started to talk about grace for the outsider. Remember the Lord said, this is grace for you is awesome, but actually I came as you receive grace that you are a channel of grace for everybody else. And if you go, you need to get back to that place where you go, actually, Lord, there will be a fulfillment in my life and a fullness in my life and a purpose in my life because at some point, you received grace from somebody who decided that what they received, you would have. Whether it's Pastor Prince on the television, whether it was a minister somewhere else, whether it was a church leader or a friend who invited you in, we all of our journeys, every single one, nobody excluded, has been from the outside in. That's the heart of God. Lead people to an encounter. All right? That's what this grace is for. This grace is to change lives for eternity. And so, last week, Marcel, when he was here, talked about, I think that's been sitting out for a while. That's minging. But you know what? I'm going to press on through and keep taking it. And Marcel last week talked about five times more and the power of communion. I might need to take communion now. Is that fresh? No. It is. It's minging. And I'm going to talk more about that in the month, but I would encourage you every day in your own homes, in your own worlds, to take communion and to take the Holy Communion and see what the Lord will do. And that's how you receive. And so, but over this month, because I kind of thought, you know, this is not just about a one hit at the start of the year. It's more than that. It's about a heart shift. And sometimes our heart shifts don't move because I give a 30-minute sermon or a 40-minute sermon. But actually the Lord puts something in our hearts and he asks us to think about it, dwell on it, chew it over for what it means for me and what therefore I'm going to do with it. Do you get that? And so what I wanted to do today was I wanted to encourage you. There's no doubt that we are part of a global move of God in this church. There's no doubt about that. And that we're... It was interesting for me last week in the middle of a quite a busy week. There's just one wee moment, and I'll share it probably at some stage, where I received some encouragement just in a wee instant, which reminded me to lift my head up and go, you're part of something much bigger. Randomly, okay, sitting in a coffee shop, and that we're part of a revolution of grace that will change the course of history. Do you realize that? That's why you've got breath in your body. you're absolutely significant. Absolutely significant. You're called to be the happening. Remember in the story of Ruth, she happened upon a field, the field being the church. She just happened to come upon this. No, she didn't. The Lord had already gone before her to prepare. You are the happening for someone this year. Do you know that? You're the happening for someone. Somebody's life is going to be different. Somebody's family is going to be different. Somebody's going to be healed of cancer, disease, and sickness because you are the one who carries the grace of God, the Spirit of God in you. You're significant. What God has called us for is significant. And we're going to unpack that a little. And I know that there's a particular emphasis for us in the year. I'll get to that. And we'll come to more of that. I do believe there was something about that five times more that really sat with me in my own life, in this city and beyond. But first of all, I wanted to step out a little bit and be a wee bit random. All right? Remember last year, for those of you who remember, I started last year by going, you know, normally people go, woohoo, you know, get on board, get on the bus. If you're not on the bus, get off the bus and all that stuff. All right? And I started last year by going, actually, I felt the Lord saying, prepare the way for vision to come and for faith to come. And so I started last year with a series called Twist It. Anyone remember that? Remember feeling, if you haven't listened to it, you probably need to, because we all need to listen to it. I need to listen to it. I need to preach to myself again about bitterness, unforgiveness, and that sort of stuff. Because it's interesting that, and I remember last year thinking, oh my word, you must be joking me, Lord. And then actually over the last week or so, I've just felt the Lord go, but you didn't finish it. There's one other thing that you didn't let go or you didn't speak about that you need to speak into. And look, it's a good news message, right? Don't be going, oh, for flip's sake, give me the whole, behold, I'm doing a new bus, get on my bus and all that. Yeah, we'll get to that. But what I felt the Lord go was, actually, Jesus the same yesterday and today is about your freedom. And it's not about the Lord. Sometimes last year, it was interesting for me, whenever I felt the Lord say that and I ministered it, I put it out there just for us in the church. And it actually went pretty mad around Europe and beyond. Lots of leaders and pastors and people going, this is a message that we need to hear. Can you preach this more? 70% of the people in Grace Alliance were saying, we need this message. And I was thinking, isn't that interesting? If I had just done what everyone else does, then we probably wouldn't have seen that ministering as powerfully as it did. But I want to speak into something today, and I'm going to step out a wee bit, and it's about what stops you from receiving. All right? Because in a couple of weeks, I'm going to talk about what I feel my heart is for the church. But what's interesting is this. Whenever you hear the Lord, I'm going to talk about the promises of God today and what that means. But who in this room has not heard God's promise spoken over your life, but is disappointed that it hasn't come to pass? And this week, the Lord said to me, just minister into disappointment. And such a bonkers way to start the year. And I was like, oh, my Lord, no, hold on. Can you not just give me some really woohoo? And we'll all be excited because it's the first week of January. But the Lord said, actually, just speak into this and remind people that I'm a God of promise. Because in order for faith to really come, to believe in the power of this message and to believe in what God can really do. So it's not superficial and above the line, but actually it's a heart shift and a heart transformation. It's not about the Lord not willing blessing and goodness and favor every day of your life, but sometimes when we hear the promise of God, we have to deal first with our disappointment in order that we can receive. Does that make sense? And so this week I just felt the Lord say, minister to disappointment. I was like, oh, flipping Nora, that's a good one. Isn't it? Don't look at me with that face, Carol. All right? And there's grace in this. It's a wee bit like painting. I'm absolutely rubbish at painting. I don't mean like painting people. You know, I'm really, really rubbish at that. But you know, like I have great ideas when you look at your dining room and you go, I would love to paint that. And then, you know, I'm that kind of guy who just sees the end result. So see all this, my dad would have driven me nuts because I would go on, right, we're going to paint, right? 3 hours later, he still got the masking tape out. No, going along the edges and all. I'm going, see, I'm there with a paintbrush. Let's just get the paint in the walls, Dad. All right? We're not ready. Of course we're ready. No, let me just. And you know, every edge, exact. Spirit level and all out. Oh, wee bit of masking tape's out by an eighth, son. Get her in. And I'm like, seriously, I'm going to put you out by an eighth unless you actually get this. You know what I mean? And you're like, seriously? And then so after half a day, I'm wanting to beat him senseless with a paintbrush. Because just let's get the paint in the wall. So know what happens? You get up to the top bits, see the bits where the walls join the ceiling, and you think, I'll do rightly. And then it all splatters in the wall and you have to go over it and all. Do you know all that stuff? I hate painting. I hate it. Now, because the Lord blessed us so much in our business last year, I have a man that paints. I have to say thank you, Jesus, for him. All right, Jim, I pray the Psalm 91 over him every day, that no matter where he goes, that his hands would be blessed and kept safe and his van would be on the road. That is my earnest prayer every day for Jim the painter. If you want his number, let me know. He's brilliant. And the thing is, because I hate it, absolutely hate it. See, preparation drives me nuts. I just want to get to the result. You right? But I know that if I jump into just painting on the walls, it's going to look like a dog's dinner. It often does. I saw a brilliant meme over Christmas. This guy with a van that says, ladies, we fix what your husband did. You know what I mean? I thought, what a brilliant guy that is. He's seen a business opportunity right there. I fix what your husband started, all that stuff. Cheeky rascal. But see that thing of preparation. But what I do appreciate is when the preparation is done well, then when it comes the right time to apply, you're ready to go. And you're not undoing and overdoing and fixing in and filling in all the mess because you just didn't get it right in the first place. Now, I'm not saying you spend forever, but there is something where I just felt the Lord go, just speak into that and minister into that today so that we're good to go when it comes to actually receiving faith. Because what happens is, and Phil spoke to it this morning, is what happens is when you hear the promise of God, first of all, in your mind, you go, but hold on. We want to have faith to believe. And we want to have faith to understand that the power of this message will radically change you in this city. But we have to be honest and go, but can you, Lord, help me with my disappointment first? Can you even just minister into that? It's not that we're going to sit around and all the navel gaze, but just be aware of the fact that in order to receive, it's not just about bitterness and forgiveness, but the Lord said that comes in threes, and the last one is disappointment. Not just with each other at times, because God knows we all know what that's like, but with the Lord himself. Yeah? And so, does that make sense to you? Because there's one big area, and if we want to receive fresh vision and faith, I want to speak into that, but can we deal with disappointment? Because many of us know what that's like. You may have been disappointed with people, with church, with God, betrayal. You might have had promises that God spoke that you haven't seen come to pass. So when you hear about the future, it can be hard for us to have faith. Faith simply means to be convinced that God will do what he will do. How can you have faith for today and for tomorrow when we're still anchored to that which disappointed us in the past? Disappointment anchors you to your past. It sticks you in your past. It holds you in the past. Now, what's really interesting, in Romans chapter 8, let me just read some of the Bible for you. You know, in all these things, this is the great victory chapter, right? This is the after seven chapters of declaration or about the grace and law and all this. It goes, now, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Now, listen very carefully. For I'm sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you notice something? Because I noticed it recently for the very first time. Do you notice that he doesn't mention the past? He says everything in all of creation, okay? Not the present nor the future can separate you from the love of God. But he doesn't mention the past here. You see, yesterday cannot remove you and separate you from God's love because you're always in God's love. But it can destroy your awareness of God's love and promise for today and for tomorrow. Disappointments are attached to your yesterdays. You're not disappointed about your future because it hasn't happened yet. Disappointments are about your yesterdays. You cannot be disappointed with your future. But what happened yesterday redefines your today and your tomorrow. And I'll tell you this, what disappointment does is it will cause you to miss your purpose and your calling. The enemy works really hard to keep your eyes on what didn't work, so that you cannot have your eyes on what you're called for that will work. And so we need to bring that to the Lord and say, Lord, in my heart, it might be people, it might be you, it might be the church, it might be whatever, but I'm going to deal with it early this year. And because God is speaking to you about believing for five times more, God is calling you to go use the fullness of Jesus. When he was pressed for you, it was for fullness. It was for wholeness, not just for saved and in the meeting, but in every day of your life, supernatural peace, supernatural healing, supernatural blessing and prosperity, supernatural flow, supernatural rest, seeing relationships restored and returned, seeing those dreams in your heart fulfilled. That is what the Lord has for you. He has five times more. But I'll tell you now, disappointment stands at the door of our hearts and it closes the door to faith and excitement about what God can do because we focus on what didn't work before. Anyone? And I've been really honest with the Lord, even this week, like really honest, going, you need to help me. And I just felt like, because we're born, when people talk about having faith, you're born for that. And let me tell you why. It's because faith is a gift of God. It is not something that you work up. The very word in the New Testament, pistis, means the gift of God. God gives you faith. He gives you the measure of faith. You have faith, but it gets clouded over and put upon. And it's not about you creating faith or any, because you can't create faith. In its essence, it is God's gift to you to believe for who he is and what he has done for you. It's there in you. But let's clear the pipes. Let's not constrict the flow of God in our lives that we can't receive, that we can't get the goodness of God and the fullness of God because we can't let go of yesterday. Because at the start of 2019, I resolved this week to say to the Lord, and Penny and I were walking yesterday, walking around the place, and going, do you know what? Yesterday is done. And part of me went, I am sick of being sick about yesterday. Can we just not look forward to what the Lord has for us? Not discounting, not saying just get up, but actually going, Lord, you can cope with my disappointment. In fact, not that you can just cope with it. You will heal me and restore me. I do you know what I love? I love this. In church, this is what we're called for. Think about this week. I was listening, I remember who I was listening to, but they were talking about how whenever Jesus walked into every situation that the Lord walked into, he walked into with a redemptive heart. Oh, I love that. When he walks into your life, it's with a redemptive heart. It's to redeem you and bring you back to who you are really meant to be. Every situation, the Lord wants to redeem. Every relationship, he wants to redeem. Every business, he wants to redeem. Every home, he wants to redeem. Every relationship between husband and wife, children and parents, I don't care what it is. When the Lord is there, he redeems. And nothing short of that. Oh, I love that. And I thought, Lord, that, and if you don't believe me, go to the New Testament. Look at everything that he did. He didn't come to cause issues and do it. He came to redeem, to make it better, to bring this kingdom of heaven right into that world right now. That's what he has for you. But let's not sit when we hear these words. The Lord's saying, can you prepare your heart? Because I want to give you fresh vision. I want to give you fresh hope. I want to give you a fresh expectation of what the power of the gospel can do in you, in your world, and in this city. I want to give you a fresh vision for Exchange Church and what we are called for. I want to show you that the power of the gospel in us is greater and stronger than anything else. And church, we have not seen anything yet. I've had prophetic word after prophetic word last year about get ready for this 2019. And I haven't shared them with you because I've just sat on them going, actually, as I even received those words, I was being honestly constricted by my disappointment. And the Lord said, just minister to that. I get lots of criticism because I'm not a minister, apparently. All right? But I know the heart of the Lord for you is to love you into wholeness. And so I'm ministering this to you today because the Lord wants you to be whole. He really wants you to be whole. And just at the start, it's not like we wait and we wait. It's just like we're just aware. And sometimes just the awareness and the light shining in is enough for us to go, Lord, you know what? You heal us on our way. You don't get into a side road and sit there and nasal gave and, am I healed enough yet? Flip, I don't. You know what? You'll only be healed when you get to heaven, so get over it. You know what I mean? I just need the Lord to, no, just get on with it. Get a big vision for your life. Get a big vision for the healer who heals you as you go, who walks with you in your journey, loves you every day, blesses you every day, opens the doors every day. And as you experience him, I'm going to talk about this very quick, as you experience him, you're healed on the way. But let's not deny it because the Lord's big enough. He goes, your disappointment, seriously? That's just, let me just pour my love and my grace into that and let me just show you again how much I have for you. Amen? Is this all right? Some of you are not too sure. It's all right, when you get saved, you'll understand. All right? Let me just get some of this stinking water in. See if that gives me the trots. Somebody's in trouble. All right? Yeah. In Proverbs 13:12, it says this. It says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. I just want to build some faith into you about what Jesus is like today. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. You know those dreams that Phil was talking about this morning? And I haven't seen Dr. Phil because he's been away on his holidays. And thank goodness they're back in one piece. They were skiing. I was slightly nervous, no faith, and but glad to see no broken bones or whatever. So we didn't get to chat. So what he was ministering to was definitely in touch with the Spirit of God this morning, which is awesome. It says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. There's all sorts of things, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Let me tell you this. There's lots of things that we don't plan for in our lives. Isn't that right? It can be betrayal, criticism, sickness, illness. And we're not supposed to like those things because that's not the heart of God for us. But how we will navigate those is really, really important. What this means is when hope is deferred, what that means is when God speaks a dream over your life, God speaks a blessing over your life, and God speaks a promise over your life, when we don't live in those, right, and we don't see the fullness of them, or we don't start to see the expansion of God in our lives, it makes us vulnerable to spiritual sickness, right? But when we receive faith from the Lord, when we receive the Lord's heart, and we see those actually starting to come out in our lives, it's like a tree of life. Tree of life's only mentioned three times in the Word. I'm going to talk about that next week. So what is critical here, can I just ask you, is to check in on the attitude of your heart. Because the attitude of your heart is really important. We're going to have challenges, folks, but if we navigate them well, then do you know what I actually think? I think the blessing and the fullness is on the other side of the challenges and how we navigate them. It's interesting for people who sail, right? You know, disappointment will rob you of a sense of purpose. And sometimes when things come against us, we can go, oh. But actually, I was reading about this because I don't sail because I can't swim. So I don't like to get in the sea in that order. But a sailor, do you know what they do? They actually go straight to the wind and they set their sails accordingly. Oh. I thought this was brilliant. How have I got to 32 years of life and not figured this out, right? He's up 33. Okay, you got me, Mark. Have I got to 33 and not figured this out? Actually, what they do is they turn into the wind. And what stops them going backwards is how they position their sail. You position your sail right into the wind, you go forwards. Oh, come on, that's a word. Yeah. And the Lord said to you today, you know what? Your disappointments, what happened is when they came against you, your heart was set wrong. Can't navigate them. Because what grace does is it makes us overcomers. It doesn't promise us that we don't have challenges. We do have challenges. That's real. Okay? But the realness of that does not negate the greater truth, which is your heart set right into that wind, you will go through it towards glory. And here's the interesting thing about adverse winds. They don't last forever. You get through them. Amen? It's not just like, oh my goodness, we're in, you know, batten down the hatches, folks. We're in constant trial and tribulation. No, we're not. We're overcomers. But what do we do to navigate whenever things come against us? Go, here we go. Flip me. It doesn't work. Why? Because we're anchored to our disappointment of the past. Here we go again. Lord says, no, can I just help you to navigate your heart, navigate the right way and position your heart? And so does that make sense? Because actually that, you go straight full on in, but you cut through. Hi. I've got about 10 minutes and then I'm going to be finished. How do we do that? This is why the Lord wants to minister into your disappointment. People, words, situation, sickness, whatever. That's why he wants to come in today and to allow you to breathe a little bit and go, it's okay, do you know what? Because you know what I absolutely believe about you guys and about me, because I know it's true for me too, is underneath everything else is I absolutely believe Jesus, but I want to believe him more. Yeah? And I will refuse to be condemned because I don't believe enough. It's like almost that sense of, as the disciples said, Lord, help me with my unbelief. Not Lord, condemn me, help me. And the Lord goes, absolutely, let me show you. Let me love you. Let me show you how you navigate and get your sail right so that when the wind comes full on, you don't get blown off course, blown backwards or sunk, but you cut right through. And let me start to build faith in you for this year. Can I just say that whenever the Lord says, when you live constantly or you live repeatedly with the promises of God, when your hope is deferred, your dreams are not fulfilled, okay? It makes you vulnerable to sickness, cynicism, okay? But he says that dreams fulfilled, they're like a tree of life, all right? So actually, Tree of Life is mentioned in Genesis, Proverbs, and in Revelation. What was, what is, and what is to come. Right? It's three ways that the Tree of Life is mentioned. It's really interesting, actually. But I'll come back to it. But God is a God of promise. And listen to me. Whenever God, and actually, the way I want to describe it is this, that God's promise is revealed in you, fulfilled in you, or Tree of Life, right? But actually, you reveal Jesus, and you reveal God as Father whenever you see his promise revealed in your life. Let me tell you how you navigate your heart and keep your sail right this year. It's all about the promises of God, actually, and not being connected to our disappointment, but being reframed and refocused and connected to a promise. Do you know the word promise, promittere? It's committere in Latin, right? But promittere is the word for promise. It means to send forth into your future. Actually, look at this. This is just a definition from like yonks ago, right? Think about God. Take that off a minute for me, Aaron, please. Just think about this for 1 minute. This is whenever you go, because what I'm going to show you is this, that faith to believe is connected to the promises of God. That's the point. Faith to believe is not ethereal. Give me faith. Your faith is a gift of God connected to the promises that he makes for you. Do you get that? That's why you go to the Word. That's why we gather as church. That's why we worship together. That's why we do what we do. So let me show you what promise actually means. Stick it up, Aaron. A promise, it's a declaration written or verbal made by one person to another, God to you. It binds the person, what? Who makes it. Either an honor, conscience, or law, to do or forbear a certain act specified. A declaration which gives, now listen, so on one side, he is bound by the promises that he has made to you. He's bound, and he cannot lie. Do you get that? The Lord cannot lie. Now, on the other side, a declaration which gives us, right, to whom it is made, the right to expect or to claim the performance or forbearance of the act. Isn't that awesome? So what that's saying is this. If you want to, in 2019, how we're going to navigate and allow faith to really grow in us for what the Lord can do in the power of the gospel of grace, is to go, whenever he said it, whenever he wrote it, whenever he spoke it, because it's not just what was in the word, it was the prophetic word that came to you all those years ago. It was the dreams that God put into your heart where he said, this is what I will promise for you. But we anchor to disappointment. The Lord says to you today, let me tell you something. Because I said it, I am bound to it. I cannot change it. I am my immutability. If you, my character says that when I said it, it is done. It is my settled, finished will demonstrated by Christ on the cross. But here's your bit. If I have said it, your role, if you like, is you get to boldly say, if you said it, then I have a right. That is faith. An absolute confident expectation. My right as a son of God is to believe. I can't dictate to you, but I can take what your promise is and say, I have a right to expect goodness in my life. Why? Because you said so. I may be disappointed, but I have the right, but that is your responsibility. Promises, he sends forth into your future goodness and blessing. That's what promittere promise means. It means that he declares, he speaks, he has made an utterance, he has written it down, and he witnesses it to your heart, that not about yesterday, it is done and gone, but for today and for tomorrow, there is goodness for you. That is the promise, anchor to the promise of God, because your faith is connected to the goodness and the promise of God, because he said so. So how do you get more faith, if you like? Well, it's not about more faith because you've got the gift of faith. It's about seeing that faith grow in your experience. It's, I will say, Lord, where I was disappointed, I let it go. I will not hold on. I will, because that will separate me from today and from tomorrow. It will anchor me to my past and rob me of today and for tomorrow, because the promise is always about here to here, not about that. The promise for that is that it's covered. It's gone far as the east from the west, but today and tomorrow, that's where we live, isn't that right? Well, some of us still live here. So let me just say this to you. There's over 7,700 promises in the Bible for you. Do you want me to tell you them? Close the doors, right? And here's what I love. You go back to Genesis 3:15. That God has a promise for you even before you've messed up. Isn't that awesome? Before you screw it up, he's already made a promise to redeem. I think that's awesome. Promises are not about teasing or false hope. He's a loving father. And do you know why he gives you these promises? Listen to me. Remember, I told you the way that faith builds in us is that God shows you a promise and it causes you to get a picture of what that would look like. You get that? Remember, I might need to recover that for some of you. To go, how does the Lord build faith? Where does faith come from? Actually, we see it in the whole, right the way back to Abraham. What the Lord was, he spoke, but he painted the picture. Psalm 1, he spoke and he gives a picture. This is my promise. This is what it looks like. This is my promise. This is what it looks like. He's a God who paints pictures of what it looks like to live in the goodness and the fullness of the words that he speaks. That's why the promises of God are so important. They're not just to be, honestly, they're great to write them and put them on your fridge, but let them live in your heart and in your mind and let your mind expand to what that looks like. Dwell on them, think on them. But do you know what? Can I just say to some of you, creatively innovate and think with the Lord this year. Draw outside the lines. Forget the masking tape. Just stick it on the wall and see what the Lord will create with you. That's a prophetic word for our dining room, sweetheart. In Jesus' name. See Penny's eyes? I don't think so. That's what promises are for. They're not about yesterday, but they're about for today and tomorrow, to help you to dream, to paint pictures of what your life and your purpose is all about. Let me just say this to finish. I want to go quickly. God can reveal himself to you in any way. In the Gospel of John, I love the Gospel of John. It's my favorite gospel. And it's interesting that with God, you know, when God appears, he for you this year, it could say, you know, I am God the creator, I'm God the judge, I'm God the righteous. You know, when Jesus and John, in the Gospel of John, do you know how Jesus chooses to reveal God as Father? Now, what's really interesting for me is that I can say I'm a father, but how do you know what a father looks like? You ever thought about this? Because if I'm a creator, I can do something and create. And so you can see me as creator. How is a father revealed? A father's revealed in his children. God absolutely loves to see your dreams fulfilled because it reveals him as a good father. Do you get that? That's where your faith comes from. Your absolute ability to believe and to navigate all the challenges, to stand firm, and actually not to navigate, but to get through them, is understanding that when Jesus came, right? Jesus was the perfect representation of the Father. But whenever you have your dreams fulfilled, whenever your prayers are answered, whenever your body is healed, do you know what happens there? You're revealing him as Father, and he loves that. Because that Jesus came to reveal the Father. So he loves it. Not just he will do it for you, or can do it, but actually in us actually seeing our dreams fulfilled, our hopes fulfilled, seeing this tree of life in us, actually what we do, not just to ourselves, but to the world, is we reveal the Father who loves us. That's how we know that he is Father, because we see his work in us, his children. That's where fathers are seen. Do you get that? In the lives of their kids. Let me just, in 2 Corinthians 1:20, it says, for all the promises of God are yes, find their yes in him. That is why through him that we mutter our amen. Let me just say this, every promise of God, right, God is bound to it. But you add your amen. You add your amen. That's why we're described as co-laborers. That's why we're described as working with the Lord. Are you prepared to add, amen means so be it. My declaration of faith is, as you have said it, all of those promises, over 7,700 promises in the Word of God for you. And the Lord says, I am bound to them. Now, will you add your amen? If you do that, boom, a tree of life. The problem for us is we anchor to the past. And we go, it didn't work before. And the Lord says, no, enough. That'll make you sick. You'll be spiritually sick if you live there. And I will build so much faith in you. How? By revealing more of the Father for you in Jesus. All 7,700 promises plus are yes in Jesus. And I believe that one of the things I want to talk about this month is we're going to reveal Jesus in a new way, in a fresh way. Not people who carry disappointment, but when the impossibilities of life, right, come against you, but they yield to you because of Christ in you, we will reveal Jesus to this city and beyond. We will reveal grace to our friends. I don't know about you, but seeing with my friends, I don't want to replay the same scenes. There's so much more for us. I just don't want to do 2019 as like a 2018 plus, all right? Add a wee bit in, sure, wasn't that great? Life's too short. There's too much resting on us as a church. This thing's too important for us to simply play around. And that's not pressure, that's excitement to go seriously. Because when the impossibilities of life yield to Jesus in you, the Father's revealed. When the Father's revealed, he brings everyone to himself. It's time for the impossibilities of life to start to yield to Christ in you. Amen? It's time for, instead of broken promises and disappointments, because he's never broken a promise to you because he cannot lie. But it's about us positioning and aligning for what the Lord is doing so that we sail right through. And I'm sailing right through what's interesting, not just do we get to the other side, but I believe that there will be people today who are not in these seats, but will be here with you, encouraged by you, ministered to by you, healed through Jesus in you. And not just the impossibilities in your life yielding to the power of Christ in you, but the impossibilities in their life too. Amen? That is faith to believe. Your faith to believe is anchored in the promise of God. If you're struggling to believe for today and for tomorrow, it's because there's a lack of promise over your life. If there's any area of your life today where you don't have hope, honestly, can I tell you it's under a lie? I've had to challenge myself this week on that, to really challenge myself, to go, I feel no hope. And the Lord goes, you're listening to a lie. Because every time Jesus steps in, what does he do? He redeems. He brings hope every time. He brings life every time. He brings healing every time. And if you don't have hope today, it's because you're anchored to yesterday. So let the Lord minister to that to you today. And anchored to the promise, we'll have faith for what the Lord's going to do. I'm going to finish. Our capacity to have faith. Right? You know what I'm going to say? Your capacity to have faith, to believe, right? It's fed by, it's fueled by, and it's inspired by your connection to the promises of Jesus. That's it. That's why every week in this church, we will lift up Jesus and his finished work. We will lift up him and his beauty and his glory. We will ask you to behold him and look at him, to give your heart to him every way in a fresh way. Because as you behold and you look at him, not as yesterday, but you behold and you look at him, you'll be changed into the same image from glory to glory. Amen? That's what we're going to do, folks. And as that grows in you, can I just ask you to really consider this week and say, Lord, it's okay sometimes in Christians, in Christianity, and we can make it really difficult for people. We can make it really worksy. And we can go, just get on with it, and you can't get. It's all right, the Lord knows. And I think the Lord is more interested in the longevity of us really growing and transforming than the flash in the pan, right? The Lord's never going to be finished working in us. So part of me goes, I don't want to live like a fiddler's elbow, right? I want to live from glory to glory. The word says building precept upon precept in my life, my experience growing. And that's the sense that I got. The Lord just said, well, minister to that disappointment today and just call time on it and go, you know what? How will we overcome our disappointment? By staring at it and looking at it? No. What we'll do is we'll say, Lord, I do believe. I do have faith. Now, on this bit, your grace covers me, your grace is good for me, and your grace can heal me. And as I'm being healed on the way, I'm going to connect and anchor to the promises that you have spoken because you've bound yourself to them, and I'm going to move forward on those. Amen, church. Mm-hmm.